Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Message tonight.
Bless the Lord.
Appreciate the instruction that the Word of God continues to give us. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. I'll give you just a minute to find that. Probably not the most familiar area of the Bible for the Bible readers, but 2 Chronicles chapter number 16 is where we'll begin. We're going to read 10 verses tonight, the first 10. We're going to be reading about a king of Judah. In this particular time, there were Israel had a civil war. They had split up. The southern realm of the kingdom was called Judah, and the northern kingdom was Israel. Now, during the reign of many of the kings of Judah, there were certainly some wicked kings, some men that followed Baal, quite frankly. They served another god. And they suffered for it, and so did the people. Chapter number 16 introduces us to a king, a man named Asa. And I want to read about him and then share my heart tonight from the Word. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, and there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ajon and Dan and Albam, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein hast thou done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." And Asa was wroth with the seer, put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Bow with us. Lord, open your word to our hearts tonight. Confess how desperate we are and in need of instruction. We pray that our hearts would receive this as the encouragement it's meant to be, but also as the warning to each one of us, that we make not the same mistakes as those before us have. Forgive us where we have failed. Lord, may all of this bring glory to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
being unfamiliar with probably some of the kings of Judah, I'm going to give you just a quick history lesson concerning this particular king, King Asa. He was a fairly young man. His father was a wicked king, if I remember correctly. According to this, when he took over, the Bible said that Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. It's not every time you read about one of the kings of Israel or of Judah that you read that they did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. It's discouraging some when you read all of the wickedness that some of those kings had. I want to say to you today that there's certainly potential, regardless of who's in power. Power within a human tends to corrupt them. And that's nature at work at its best. You can't really work that out of a man. Power is a corruption that will eat him from the inside out if there's not something greater on the inside. Now, I said that because God is bigger than everything else, right? The Word teaches us that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So I do believe that there have been godly leaders throughout the history of mankind, and certainly believe that there can be again. But it takes men who depend on God for everything that they need. The Bible said of King Asa that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's how he began his reign as the king of Judah. You'll find that some of the things he did as far as social reform and spiritual reform was he immediately dealt with the idol worship of Baal. He took away the altars of the strange gods, broke down their high places, broke up their images, and he cut down their groves. Now, Asa was serious about people getting back to the Lord. And he even commanded all of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to do his commandments. After that, he began to build fenced cities and also began to establish a great army of men and made weapons and chariots and all of these other things. And sure enough, all of that was a very important decision of Asa as the Ethiopians and the Libyans came to war against him. But the important thing to remember here is I just give you a brief lesson on who he was, is that when that first war came, even though he had built fenced cities and even though he had constructed a great army and had spent a great deal of money and time creating weapons and things of defense, the Bible said that when he went out to war against the Ethiopians, that what he did first was he prayed. And he asked God, he sought God for his help. And he said to God, he said, "We can't do this. They're more than we are. They're greater than we are." And yet he called on God and he asked for God to help him. And according to the scripture in the 14th and the 15th chapter, you can read it, how that God intervened and he destroyed the enemy before Asa the king and he ran them off. And the Bible teaches us that Asa had learned a valuable lesson and had seen God in action and seen him work when he had relied upon him. May I say to us today as an encouragement that it might seem that the enemy is great, and it may appear to you and I that his forces are continuing to establish themselves and maybe even surrounding us. It may seem to you that there's no way that we can win, but I want you to know today that within ourselves we cannot, and yet with our God there is nothing he can't do. There is nothing he can't do. I purposely read from the 16th chapter because I wanted you to see tonight not necessarily what Asa did that was right, but what Asa did that was wrong. In the 16th chapter, you'll find that another king came against Asa, and it was his peer, Baasha in Israel. The king of Israel had come to war against Judah, brothers against brothers almost. And yet when when Baasha had come to Judah, he began to build a city outside of there that cut off all the going in and coming out of Judah. Basically, he intended to starve them out and then attack them. And when Asa found himself in such a predicament, he made a league with the enemy. The Bible said instead of calling on God, he gathered up gold and silver out of the house of God and out of his own house. And he took all of this money to the king of Assyria. And he said to him, he said, if you'll make a league with me against Baasha the king, he said, I'm going to give you all of this money. He said, for you and me should be in league together and as our fathers were in league together. Now remember, Asa's father was a wicked man. And the Bible said that the king of Assyria agreed and he set in to war against the king of Israel and he run him out. And the king of Israel, Baasha, went back and Asa went in there to the city the king of Israel was building. He tore it down, took all the stones and all the timber and he hauled it off and started building a different city, a different storehouse. And then the word came. You remember the time when David had sinned against God and Nathan came with a word and reminded him. Right? David thought that his sin had been covered up. He thought it was behind him. And yet the word of the Lord came one day. Doesn't it always come? Aren't you glad that it comes? Aren't you glad that the word of God won't leave us alone, but it'll seek our heart and it'll find us in our desperate place and it'll draw us out to that place of honesty where we have to confess to God that I have sinned against you and repent. The same thing happened to the king Asa. Hananiah the seer got a word from God and he took it to the king boldly. And he told him, he said, you've made a league with the enemy. And he said, instead of relying on God, which you did before, and he reminded him, he said, when the Ethiopians came and the Libyans came, when they came and warred against you and you called out for God's help, did he not deliver you? We're not the odds against you. We're not everything that they could have examined. I said to you, you couldn't win, and yet your God delivered you. And yet this time you made a league with the enemy. You let the enemy escape from you. You partnered. You lay down with the enemy instead of relying on God. And he said, because you've depended on them and not God, he said, there shall be wars in your kingdom from now on. As long as you reign, there'll be war, for you've done foolishly. When the word of the Lord came unto Asa, he spoke to him quite clearly. Now, when David received the word of God and Nathan said, David, thou art the man, we remember that David was broken. May I say to you today, when the word of God comes to you and it reveals that you're in sin, the best thing to do is to break. The best thing to do is to fall on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Oh, there's forgiveness and mercy with God. If he's anything, he's merciful, is he not? My goodness, what mercy God has upon sinners like you and me that we even breathe and live. God is merciful today. And why would we turn from God and make a league with the enemy? The very one that wants to destroy you is the devil. He wants to tear you down and steal from you, destroy your families, take what you've got. He would kill you if God allowed the very thing. But we turn to the enemy instead of God. Oh, how foolish we are at times to allow the very things that God is trying to deliver us from. We allow them back in our lives by giving place to the devil. By letting the enemy come in our house. And of all things, Asa paid him to do it. There's a whole lot of things that we pay for we probably should cut off. Asa found himself in a terrible position. You know why? Because he depended on someone besides God for deliverance. As I prayed this week, and no doubt you have too, I'll have to confess, I've prayed more about this than any other election I've ever prayed of all combined. Don't know why, but my heart is broke over it. And I'm in a zealous place seeking God for it. And have no idea what God's going to do, but I assure you, He knows my heart. I've left it in a puddle before Him many times as I've fasted and prayed over this thing. And God knows my heart. And here's the one thing that I am not willing to do, and that's to make a league with the enemy. It doesn't make any difference, amen, ultimately what God does. He is still going to be God, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the outcome. The only one that can save America is God Almighty. He's the only one. It's always been that way, but it's more clear now than ever. There is not a social activity. There is not a government. There is not a platform. There is not a power in this world that can save America. Only God can do it. The only hope we have is for there to be a great awakening in this country and for God to penetrate the darkness of this world, the wickedness. Don't tell me you're in a place where you don't understand that the darkness has pervaded every part of our culture. It has violated every part of our homes. The family is broken. The homes are torn apart. Children are killing themselves. Men and women are on drugs and can't get off. They have found themselves in every hostile way in league with the enemy. And the only one that can save you is God. You are hopelessly lost without God. You say, you don't have to tell me that. Yeah, we need to be reminded of this truth. I remember what it felt like the very moment He touched my heart when I was lost and showed me that. The very instant when my conscience was awaked to the truth that if I died in that condition, I was going to spend eternity forever and ever in hell. That awareness shook me. I don't care if you're 9 years old, if you're 90 years old, when that awareness arrests your soul, you're under conviction. And when you get broken before God and you realize that without God you are going to perish, you will not call for the president. You'll not call for the congressman. You'll not call for the mayor. You'll not call for a governor. Brother, when you find yourself lost, there ain't but one that can save you. That's God. The only Savior that has ever been is Jesus. Peter and the apostles found themselves in a position where they were being persecuted by the scribes and the Pharisees. Right out of the gate for the early church, they experienced immediate persecution. In Acts chapter number 4, you'll find where an impotent man was healed by Peter, and he began to suffer the persecution of the scribes and the Pharisees. And I want to read to you his response. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you." I want you to know today that there is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. He saved then, He saves now. He is the only one with the power to raise up a nation or to put it down. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the condition, God is the only one that can save anyone. Peter said to them, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And then listen to what he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other." You say, what you're saying is quite exclusive. You're saying the government doesn't have power to keep me. The government has no power at all. As a matter of fact, every government that has ruled us up until this point has us bankrupt now. Every one of them. Our children's children couldn't pay off the debt we're in. And yet Americans riding around in their fancy cars, fat and happy, all of the way, thinking that they have something, while all the while they're in league with the enemy. We cannot survive when we're in league with the enemy. You cannot. Right, you cannot in any way expect to overcome or be saved from the enemy when you have made a pact with him. And as a country, have we not made a pact with the enemy? You say, no, no, God knows our heart. We're a God-fearing country. We might have been, but we're not anymore. There's a remnant. You can drive up and down this road and up Mount Bell and throughout, and you'll find tonight churches with the lights on. There's a few people in the pews. There are people that still love Jesus, that are sold out to the cause of Christ, that are people that are still on their way to heaven, and they're still going. But I can tell you, for the most part, the people of this country have made a league with the enemy. They have sold out to him. They've given up the things that are precious. They have sacrificed their wives and their families and their children and everything that is precious so that they can have the world. And all of this is to our own demise. You can scoff at me. You can mock me. You can do whatever you want. It will not change the fact. Look around you. The desperate condition of mankind. The wickedness that prevails on every corner of our society. Here we are, right in the Bible Belt of America. One of the only few states conservative enough that they didn't even doubt who it would go to. And yet, in our county alone, we voted for alcohol by the drink 3-1. There are things that are right in our own beds, in our back doors, in our homes, in our own county. Listen, the enemy is everywhere, and people are asleep to the fact that they have sold out to the one that is taking them to their demise. It's not fire and brimstone. It's just truth. People die every day lost without Christ, and all the while he came to save them. People departing every day undone without God. All the while Jesus Christ died on the cross for that soul. He said, whosoever will, let him come. And yet do we see the churches full of people seeking God? No. No. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me be absolutely clear. If we have not made our choice for Christ, then you have chosen the eternal damnation of our own soul. For to reject Jesus Christ is to reject the only name that can save you. He was clear, wasn't he? He said, you crucified him. God raised him from the dead. He's the stone that you builders set at naught. You rejected him. You turned him away. He said, if you want to know how this infinite man got healed today, let me tell you. He said it was by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's how he got healed. You want to know who the Savior is? I'll tell you. Jesus is still the only Savior, the only one that will ever be able to save. Neither is there salvation in any other. If you think for one minute that somehow or another a government, a system, a bureaucracy, any of these, if you think for one minute that it can save us as a country, you're mistaken. There's only one that can save us today. And that's God. You say, my goodness, I thought this was to be an encouraging message. I'm fixing to encourage you. See, what I find in God is that there ain't a mountain too tall. There ain't a river too wide. There ain't an ocean too deep. There ain't a storm too fierce. There ain't an enemy too great. There ain't a number he cannot face. It doesn't matter whether they be few or they be many. There is none that can stand in the presence of my Savior. There is none that has the power of my Lord. There is none that knows how what the sun holds in the sky and the moon that circles it. There's nobody like Jesus. I'm serving a risen Savior today who though was murdered on the cross, clearly gave his life. And by his own power, he raised himself from the dead in order that he might offer unto God a propitiation for my wickedness. He died for me. A wretched, worthless, unlovable sinner. Jesus died for me. There was only one that could save me. There was only one that could redeem me. And brother, he did. He saved me to the uttermost, it says. He sealed me to the day of redemption. That which I have committed unto him, he is able to keep. He has me and will never lose me. I'm in the palm of his hand, and he is forever my redeemer. He is the one that can deliver America if we'll believe in him. What about you? Who's your Savior today? I think some got so wrapped up in believing that a certain party was going to be able to make a difference in this country. Listen, if Jesus doesn't make the difference, it's not going to matter. Who cares? Maybe it stems the tide. Maybe it holds back the wave of wickedness that is already in its wake. Maybe it holds back some of the things and refuses to lose ground. But here's what I'm saying. Jesus is the only Savior that there is. He's the only one. Where you at today? Here's what I can tell you. As we face all of the things that are in front of us, regardless of who's the leader. Listen, you're not living in a country of a theocracy. We're not living under an aristocracy. We're living in a democracy today. But here's what's going to happen. Regardless of what man is in charge, it's going to take Jesus to deliver us from the dilemma we're in. It wasn't a social problem that got us here. It was a spiritual problem. It wasn't a problem of whether you was a Republican or Democrat. It's a problem of whether you're a sinner or a saint, whether you're lost or you're saved. And people need to be born again to correct the problem. The only way to see this turnaround is for God to be in charge of it. Now, you think that could never happen. Never happen. I read in the scripture many times this past week where it happened. Bible said that the society was absolutely committed to worshiping Baal. Every one of them had built their own idols. Every one of them had made their own groves. They had their own altars. They worshiped that product of Moab. They were worshiping something that wasn't even real. And yet God stepped in and he led them back to a place of forgiveness. He delivered them. He was a savior then and he's a savior now. He's not changed any. God ain't changed any. If your hope is in this world, that's why you're discouraged. If your hope is looking in the circumstances of this life, that's why you're disappointed. Listen, he never promised that anything down here would have lasting value or an eternal reward. The only thing that does that is God. Amen. Jesus is the only answer. My prayer is simple these days. God save America. It's the only hope my grandchildren got right now. Is that God saves America. Say, we're in a bad shape. Yeah, we're in a bad shape. Let me tell you something. We're probably better shape than most of the world. And yet we're in terrible shape. You go to the UK right now, they big churches, but they all closed. They've outgrown God. It's a world that we live in. In theory, they're godless. You go to get to some of these Middle Eastern countries, they ain't godless. They got plenty of them. They just false. They ain't real. There's a bunch of them think they serving mine. But they don't know his son. And if they don't know his son, they don't know him. That's what he said. They can say all day they worship Jehovah. Allah, they say. I can tell you right now, unless they know Jesus, they don't know Jehovah. According to Jesus, you can't know Jehovah unless you know him. See, there ain't but one that can save America. Come get a song. Well, let's just do this tonight. We don't have to have a song. This is a pretty simple invitation. You're either on your way to the right place or you're headed just fast as you can to the wrong. And it don't take a preacher to remind you of that. The Holy Spirit can do that in an instant. He can open up your eyes and he can make you aware and everybody around you aware of their eternal condition right now in this moment. We're in a bad place in this nation. We have got so smart that we call evil good. And we call what is good evil. That's where we're at right now today. We're there. From the White House, that's what they're doing. They're calling evil good and good evil. The only thing that can save us as a country is Jesus. And you're talking about a radical change. You're talking about a radical change. But ain't he a radical God? Can he do anything? I'm so glad that I'm on his side. Had a guy say, boys, it's just a good thing God's on America, so God ain't on our side. God don't pick sides, and you better be glad of that. If God went into picking sides, you'd have been left out to begin with. The sinner would have been left out. God don't pick sides. He don't have to. The question is, are you on his side? Are you fighting for him? Or are you fighting for the enemy? Say, preacher, all I'm looking for is a little peace in this world. Let me give you some truth. There ain't no peace in this world. You can try every drug. You can try every drink. You can try every relationship. You can try every book. You can try every video. You can try everything in this world. There is no peace in this world that is lasting. The only thing that you need is Jesus. But in order to get Jesus, let me be clear, you'll have to die to yourself. You've got to give up on yourself and say, I'm tired of this way. I'm sick of this life. And I'm turning. And I'm going to God. You make that choice. And you heed the call of God. And you repent and accept him as your Savior. You know what the first thing you'll experience is? Peace like a river. It'll flow through your soul. It'll feel like the weight of the entire world just lifted off of you. How many know what I'm talking about? Anybody testify? You know what I'm talking about. Am I telling the truth? Peace like a river. You ain't had peace in years. America ain't been at peace in decades. Because they abandoned the only peace they ever had, which was Christ. We've gone down a wicked road that social reform cannot fix. Only God can save us now. Read them.
Right out of this Second Chronicles, this is what happened to Asa's dad, the evil one. It says in chapter 12, verse 7, and when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I'll grant them some deliverance. That's what we need. We need some deliverance. Amen. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Then down in verse 12, the enemy came in and took all the gold shields that they had off the walls that David had put in there, and they had the fortress all built up, and the enemy came in and started taking all their things and just gleaning from them like they couldn't do it. They was helpless. But in verse 12, it said he humbled himself again. And the wrath of the Lord turned from him. Now when the wrath of the Lord gets on you, you're in trouble. Amen. And what we need is God's wrath to be turned away from America. And the only way that'll happen is if America humbles itself. Amen. Now there's two ways of getting humbled. You can do it yourself before the Lord, or the Lord will do it for you. And I'm here to advise you tonight, do it for yourself. Don't wait for the Lord to get on you. And you start saying, well, I'm sorry, Lord. The best time to do it is when the opportunity comes before you. And tonight's a good night. Amen. For us as a church and as a people to humble ourselves before the Lord. Amen. Because he said, the wrath of the Lord turned from him. I need the wrath of the Lord turning from me. And it says that he would not destroy him altogether. And also, listen to this, in Judah, things went well. I like that. Amen. I want things to go well. I got a lot of things that are out of my control, but I want them to go well. Amen. So I'm going up here and I'm going to start praying because I need God to do things well with me.
If you can join us tonight, why don't you join us in prayer? Our prayer is simple. God save America. Bring an awakening to this land. Have your will, but save us, because our society's in a state there's no recovery from it unless God helps us. But he's a God that'll help us. If you can join us tonight, join us in prayer.